Welcome back. It's the final hour of the Wednesday Huddle on ESPN Upstate. G-Mac and Lonzo here. Glad to be with you. We're with you till 4 o'clock this afternoon. Tonight, we have hockey for you. Swamp Rabbits and the Florida. Is it the Everblades? I want to say that.
It is the Everblades,
there
yes.
Seems a good guess. 7:15 is the airtime here for that call live on ESPN Upstate. And then over on WORD 106.3, the Clemson basketball game with Syracuse, 7:30 airtime for that. So we have both of those covered for you coming up tonight here, here and on WORD 106.3, so you can check out your favorite there. Three questions at three time now in the huddle. Man, you know college football season's over when we're talking NBA on two out of the three questions. Question number one, Lonzo.
All right, Boogie Cousins is expected to join the Warriors next week. Do you expect them to get better or to have some chemistry issues?
I know Boogie Cousins is seen as a little bit flaky and a guy who might cause some locker room issues and some chemistry issues. But no, I think this works out. I think the Warriors knew what they were doing when they brought in Boogie Cousins, and he's supposed to start play, I think the 18th may be his projected first day, so just a week and a half away. I think that it will work out fine. And look, the Golden State Warriors aren't exactly stinking it up. They've won two in a row. They're 27-14. They're just a game back right now of the Nuggets in the West. He knows these guys on this team. He's friends with a lot of these guys already. I don't expect any problems. I think Golden State does get better. He provides that big presence in the middle, and they've got everything else. So don't be surprised when Golden State recaptures first place in the West with Boogie Cousins. What do you think?
I think Boogie Cousins is a problem, but if KD coming in didn't disrupt the chemistry, Boogie Cousins can't disrupt the chemistry. I don't think it can be disrupted. Will he help them? Yes. But they are struggling a little bit at times this year, and I don't know if it's because of lack of interest or if they're genuinely struggling or if the rest of the league is starting to catch up with them. We won't find out till we get to the playoffs. And we see if they're still struggling after the All-Star break. But I think, again, I think he'll help them on the court. I don't think anyone can disrupt the team as far as that goes.
You know, don't look now, but we're about halfway through the season. Not quite, but almost halfway through the season. So it's kind of hard. We're going to have to stop saying it's early pretty soon. Teams are just going to have to start getting in position for what they're going to do this year in 2018-2019. So anyway, right now Golden State just one game back. How about another NBA question for question number two, Lonzo?
Should already bad NBA teams tank to try to get Zion Williamson? They should, but there's no point because the NBA has something stupid called the lottery. And that means if you're the worst team, you get more balls in the hopper. Yep. And a better chance of getting the number one pick, but you're not guaranteed to get the number one pick. So what's the point? I mean, if it was the NFL, I would get it.
Yep.
I don't think you should ever tank ever, but if there was a reason to do it, you'd want to pick up Zion Williamson, but there's no guarantee. So what's the point of tanking?
Well, there's no guarantee, but you increase your odds. That's the point. I want more ping pong balls. I mean, look, you got Cleveland is the worst team with 8 wins right now. The Knicks and the Bulls each have 10 wins. Also, the Phoenix Suns over in the West have 10 wins. You got the Hawks that can be in the mix with 12 wins, and you can go up from there from some others that could get a ping pong ball in the mix here. But, I mean, don't you think he's worth what are you playing for right now if you're these teams? You got nothing. What are you playing for if you're one of these guys? Why not go get Zion Williamson? You don't think he can change? He's going to be a game changer for somebody.
But see, that's the point. You can't go get him because there's no guarantee that you're going to get the number one pick. So you're a bad team. You decide to just go ahead and let's just tank it the rest of the way. You lose.
What do you lose?
You lose fans. You lose revenue. You lose all that kind of stuff. Then somebody else gets that ball to pop up. They get him. You get nothing.
I understand that'd be frustrating. But still, I might be tempted and inclined to, rest some starters and, especially toward the end of the season. It's too early for that now, but I don't know. What's the step down from Zion Williamson to the next guy in this draft? It's a fair question, but he looks awesome.
Well, probably another guy on the Duke team.
Yeah. I mean, they got R.J. Barrett. They got other guys that can play. But, man, Zion Williamson, I just I might want to take every chance I could get to get that guy on my team. So, for what it's worth. All right, let's go to football for question number three.
Should the Eagles consider starting Nick Foles over Carson Wentz next season?
Not talking about this year now, of course, because Foles is starting, but he is so good in the playoffs. But I can't go that far. I can't go that far. Nick Foles is Mr. Playoffs, but I don't necessarily think he's better long-term than Carson Wentz. So I don't think I would do that. Now, your concern might be Carson Wentz is just not going to be able to stay healthy. And, you know, a lot of people would love to have Nick Foles, right? A lot of people would love to have this guy as their starting quarterback. Do you want to trade one of them? I mean, he's 29 years old. He's got a long way to go. You got two relatively, you got one real young quarterback and one that should just be hitting his prime in Nick Foles and is playing at a high level. So I don't know if it's a long-term answer to keep both of them. I mean, you know, it's worked out for them that way, but what could you get from one of those guys? No, but I think Carson Wentz goes into next season as starting quarterback.
Do not change anything. Keep it exactly the way it is. Find out a way to keep both quarterbacks on the roster. It's worked for two seasons now. Why change it? You know that Wentz is going to be really good in the regular season, and he's going to get hurt. History proves that's how it happens.
If you know and that, then go ahead and change it. Just get him out of there.
But history also proves that Foles is not very good in the regular season, yeah, but pretty good in the postseason. So why change it? Just leave it the way it is.
All right. Fair enough. The NFL coaching news, we started the show with this, but there's a lot of it today. It's going to be the Cleveland Browns expected to announce, haven't done it yet, Freddie Kitchens as their head coach. Be the 18th coach in team history. He's been their offensive coordinator for the final eight games of this year, and he works well with Baker Mayfield, so no surprise there, right? That is certainly what you would expect Cleveland to do under the circumstances. He earned that job. Also, ESPN quoting sources as saying that the Denver Broncos have reached an agreement with Vic Fangio to be their head coach, the Chicago Bears defensive coordinator. Fangio gets a four-year contract, including an option for a fifth year, one of five candidates to interview for the head coaching job, and the final candidate that the team met with. So those two coaching moves, not official, but expected to be announced. ESPN quoting sources on those. And then, of course, we have the assistant Stefanski returning as the offensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings. So you got that. You got Cliff Kingsbury news. So a lot of moves in the NFL here in the past couple of days. We'll have some more, though. There's still some jobs opening, so we will be watching to see how those play out. I was looking at the final stats just out from Clemson after the national championship game on Monday night, the final individual stats. And did you realize that Justin Ross, the freshman receiver, ended up with exactly, precisely 1,000 yards receiving this year? That's pretty cool. In 15 games, 46 catches for 1,000 yards. So he, yardage-wise, was already, as a freshman, the leading receiver for Clemson. T. Higgins had more catches. He had 59 catches to Justin Ross's 46, but Ross had some bigger plays there. Amari Rodgers ended up the year with 575 yards receiving on 55 catches. Hunter Renfrow, 544 on 49 catches. Trevion Thompson next with 21 catches for 189 yards. But a 1,000-yard rush receiver in Justin Ross. How about that? The stats for Trevor Lawrence, now you know why he is a leading candidate for the Heisman Trophy going into next season. I saw one projection, Trevor Lawrence is going to win the next two Heisman trophies. Okay, maybe. You know, certainly can see that happening. He's going to be around for two more years. But
I put him in for one.
Yeah, one would be a little bit safer bet. But Trevor Lawrence finished up with this stat line. Attempted 397 passes, completed 259. That's a 65.2% completion rate. He had 30 touchdown passes and four interceptions. I mean, that's the difference between Trevor Lawrence and Deshaun Watson, the picks. Yeah, Watson more of a running quarterback is another difference. But Trevor Lawrence does not put the ball at risk. Four interceptions in 15 games is pretty dang impressive. So 218.7 yards per game passing for Trevor Lawrence this year. And even though he's got 15 games, of course, he didn't start those first four games, so that kept the overall yardage down. 3,280 yards passing for Trevor Lawrence. Travis Etienne finished up with 1,658 yards rushing. 110.5 yards per game on 204 carries. Travis Etienne averaged 8.1 yards per carry and had 24 touchdowns for the Tigers. That's that national championship offense. When you have that kind of running game combined with that kind of passing game, that's hard to stop.
I'm going to be interested to see if they can keep that up.
Yeah, that's crazy good. I didn't realize that Adam Choice actually ended up being the second leading rusher on the team this year. 548 yards. Lynn J. Dixon, 1 yard behind Adam Choice, 547 yards. And Tavian Feaster, Spartanburg High School product, ended up with 440 yards rushing this year. So as far as per carry, your best rusher was Lynn J. Dixon, 8.8 yards per carry, then Etienne with 8.1, and Choice with 7.1, and Feaster 5.6 yards per carry. That's a whole bunch of guys over 5 yards a carry for the Clemson Tigers. So interesting stat line there for Clemson and their final stats. We also got the final stats for the South Carolina Gamecocks. And I don't know if there's anything that would surprise you in here. And by the way, we did get the word that Brian Edwards yesterday announced that he's coming back. So they get their best receiver coming back outside of Deebo Samuel, who's moving on to the NFL. Brian Edwards ended up with 809 yards receiving, 7 touchdowns this year. So Deebo was the leading receiver for the Gamecocks, 882 yards and 11 touchdowns, followed by Edwards at 809 and 7 touchdowns. Shai Smith had 597 yards and 4 touchdowns. Then you're going to have some other guys that are going to need to step up in the absence of Deebo. I got some new guys coming in, but you got Josh Van, who needs to step up his game for South Carolina, and we'll see where that goes. As far as running the football, we talked about this. They've made a change at running backs coach. The running game, disappointing. Your leading rusher for the year for South Carolina was Rico Dowdle with 633 yards, but 4 touchdowns. So Rico Dowdle had 4 touchdowns, and Travis Etienne had 24. There you go. Mon Denson with 417 yards rushing was the second leading rusher. Tyson Williams, a disappointing year with 319 yards. A.J. Turner, 294 yards rushing. And Deshaun Fenwick with 115. Jake Bentley's stat line for the year wasn't bad. Completed 63.9% of his passes, 27 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. So not bad. I got better toward the end. I think one time it was, it was a much worse ratio, TD to interceptions, than that for a while. So 2,953 yards passing, just under 3,000 yards for Jake Bentley, who will return for another season next year. What we didn't see was DeCarrion Joyner at all. They went through the whole year, and DeCarrion Joyner threw 2 passes. 1 for 2 for 1 yard. So we never got a look at him. And if you're thinking about him running the ball, we didn't see that either. He ran the ball 3 times for 24 yards for the season. So we never got that good look at DeCarrion Joyner. Don't know what his potential is going to be there with Helinski coming in to join with Jake Bentley next year. But maybe Joyner gets a little bit more of a look next year. We'll see if that happens. 844-477-3776. We'll take a break and come back with more. Stay with us. This is The Huddle. You're listening to ESPN Upstate. We are back. This is The Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Greg McKinney and Lonzo, if you want to get on board here in the last half hour plus of the show on this Wednesday edition. Phone lines open at 844-477-3776. Healthcare text line 71307. Start your message with ESPN. Twitter, we have that for you as well, as always, at ESPN Upstate. One of the things that happens when you become a national celebrity by winning your second national championship in 3 years is that you get asked a lot of goofy questions. And so Dabo Swinney making the rounds and getting asked some of those questions. And he was asked about a potential Clemson Tigers football movie. A movie about the Clemson Tigers. And asked, who would he cast in some of the principal roles?
Well, I mean, Matthew McConaughey, of course. Have you seen my abs? I mean, that's a start right there. Kathleen. Oh, boy. I better. Y'all help me out with this one. Katie Holmes, maybe. Amy, you got any great suggestions right
Nobody
there?
Nobody could play her but herself.
Who's the queen in England? What's her name? What's the little brunette? What's one of those, one of the, not the queen.
Kate Middleton.
The princess.
Kate Middleton.
Yeah, Kate Middleton. We'll bring her in. And Trevor, I just think we just bring back Sunshine, you know, if he's still kicking somewhere, you know. We'll bring him back. And I don't know, Trayvon, who are we going to go with you?
My brother.
Your brother?
Yeah.
Well, how about, you know, how about we bring Lamar Jackson, which is his first cousin. Lamar's mom and his mom are sisters. So we'll just bring Lamar in to play Trayvon. That'd be great.
Man, that's a struggle, wasn't it? Don't you love the dumb questions? Who would you cast in a movie about Clemson?
See, he should be prepared for that. I mean, come
really?
On.
Yeah. Well, you know, he did all right. Did all right under the circumstances. With that,
for the wife question.
Who's the queen? Who's the brunette?
Yeah, that one lady.
pretty good there. The news today out of Clemson, they're losing a couple of guys that they didn't have to lose. You know about the defensive line all being on their way to the NFL. But news today is that Trayvon Mullen is going on to the NFL. He will leave with another year of eligibility. The cornerback who had a pick in the national championship game, moving on. And Trey Lamar, linebacker, going on to the NFL, leaving behind a year of eligibility at Clemson. So Lamar and Mullen leaving. That's a fairly significant chunk of that defense that's going to be gone next year. Saw this note from Matt Connolly of the state newspaper. Another guy that could make a decision soon is tight end H-back Garrett Williams. Garrett Williams could stay or could go. And Matt Connolly of the state said that he talked to Garrett Williams in California. And one of the things they talked about was Braden Galloway. You know, besides Dexter Lawrence, Braden Galloway was one of those guys who failed a drug test and is suspended. And that suspension is not just for the rest of this year. It goes through next year unless there's a successful appeal. So Clemson could be thin at tight end. So would that affect Garrett Williams' decision? He said no, would not be a factor. Would not be a factor whether or not Braden Galloway was going to be suspended for 2019. So kind of interesting there. We'll see. I think to me it would kind of have to be a factor. But, you know, not my decision. It's his. And that's what he's saying about that right now. So Mullen and Lamar declaring for the NFL draft. ESPN has just picked up that story. Andrea Adelson saying the exodus of top Clemson underclassmen has begun, with Trayvon Mullen and linebacker Trey Lamar declaring for the draft on Wednesday. Trayvon Mullen is ranked by Mel Kiper as the number 5 cornerback. Number 5. So, I mean, obviously he's gotten the word from the NFL guys that he talks to that it's worth coming out now. He started 14 games this season. Of course, had a big game in the national championship. He had 6 tackles, an interception, and a forced fumble. He was second-team All-ACC. Trey Lamar is ranked number 9 among inside linebackers. Number 9. So Mullen, number 5 at his position. Lamar, number 9 at his position. Lamar finished second on the team with 85 tackles. He was second team All-ACC. Both of these really indispensable parts of a Clemson defense that ranked number 5 in the nation and shut down its 2 playoff opponents, Notre Dame and Alabama, to a combined 19 points. Officially speaking, Clemson is still awaiting word from junior defensive tackle Dexter Lawrence, suspended after the positive drug test. Is there any way Dexter Lawrence says, hey, I'm coming back? First of all, how can he do that? He's not eligible right now.
Yeah, that would be a bad move on his part. He just needs to go ahead and go.
Yeah, and he's ready. I think we can all agree he's ready. Heck, he's projected to go in the first round.
And we'll find out for sure if it was an accident because he'll be tested heavily.
Will we, though? I mean, he could have done something and then stop.
True. Right? Yeah, but it takes a while to get certain things out of your system. I'm just saying, yeah, if he does go,
if he gets a positive one, we'll know.
He should expect. Well, it's happened before. Think about it. There have been guys going into the draft.
Sure.
Yeah, so.
Sure. Of course, Clemson already losing the rest of the defensive line. Cleland Ferrell. I'm never going to get used to that. Cleland Ferrell, Christian Wilkins, and Austin Bryant, all seniors, so they're all moving on. So really the only decision to be made on that defensive line is Dexter Lawrence. And, man, you would have to count me. I was surprised all those guys came back another year. So I guess I would be surprised if Dexter Lawrence said, I'm going to ride it out and see what I can do on this appeal and try to come back. That would be surprising. I don't know how you do that without knowing the outcome of the appeal. Maybe they get a quick decision on the appeal, and then he can make a more informed decision.
How often is there ever a quick decision?
The chances of it being overturned seemed low. They have two samples. What would be the basis for overturning it? I know the samples came from the same batch of urine, as Dabo pointed out, but still, what would be? Unless Clemson's investigation turns something up that would be enough, you know, to change the mind on the suspension and he could play next year. But no. I would not count on that happening. I think that's very unlikely. Let's see. A couple other notes from the NBA. Vince Carter is talking about Zion Williamson. It just seemed to spur a whole new level of comment, his 30-point performance last night as Duke beat Wake Forest. The Hawks veteran, Vince Carter, says he knows what it's like to be defined by a highlight reel, and he can relate to Zion Williamson. Of course, Vince was once nicknamed Vinsanity. He's now 41 years old. He was at North Carolina in the mid-1990s. He's a former NBA slam dunk champion. He was selected fifth overall in the 1998 draft after his junior season. And Carter said he had to prove he was more than a gifted athlete entering the NBA, and he thinks Zion Williamson will be able to do the same. Vince Carter said he will be ready for the NBA. One thing I learned when I got in this league is that, yes, I'm athletic, but there's going to be a lot of guys up here that are athletic. What else do you bring to the table? And he said, I think he's going through that phase. Everybody looks at, he can dunk, but now when you have guys that are super athletic, they're going to start saying, what else can he do? Well, I mean, we saw a little bit of that last night from Zion Williamson. He has been the face of college basketball since his arrival at Duke. He is a contender for the Wooden Award this year. Considered a skilled and multidimensional prospect who can guard multiple positions, and Carter says he believes Williamson has the tools to handle the next level. He said he's super athletic, has an NBA body already. Yeah, that's the difference. You see some of the video ESPN showing today of LeBron in the early years. I know LeBron skipped college, but when he was roughly Zion's age, skinny. Skinny dude back then. So, you know, the body on Zion Williamson is already have that, already has that NBA look. In fact, the thing he may have to do is just watch weight and kind of keep it under control and not get too big. So anyway, a good endorsement there from Vince Carter on Zion Williamson. Zion's averaging 20.2 points, 9.5 rebounds, about 2 blocks, and about 2 steals for the Blue Devils. And the projection for Zion Williamson is number 1 in the ESPN mock draft as of right now. 844-GSP-ESPN. That's 844-477-3776. We'll take a break and come back with more here on the Wednesday edition of The Huddle. G-Mac and Lonzo on ESPN Upstate. Welcome back into The Huddle on ESPN Upstate as the sun shines. About to turn colder, though. Temperatures in the 40s after today for the rest of the week. Greg McKinney and Lonzo here in The Huddle. If you want to call in, 844-477-3776. Did you see this about this radio commercial that ran in Birmingham? After the Monday night national championship game, 44-16 win by Clemson over Alabama, Clemson's second national title, and the Last 3 years, WKPX 94.5 in Birmingham aired a one-minute commercial that highlighted Alabama's win over Clemson. You know, it was a sports apparel company that has the shirts and all that stuff ready to sell immediately after the game. And, of course, the Clemson stuff went on sale here. Well, I have one ready to go in Alabama, too. But you're not supposed to play it if your team loses. You're supposed to get that right. So the commercial said this. Many Alabama fans are coming through getting all their title apparel. What a great win over Clemson for the Crimson Tide. The sixth title in 10 years. Truly amazing. Title number 7 for Nick Saban.
As we both know, sometimes things slip through, you know. Someone forgets to do something or someone tries to get ahead of things.
Oh, gosh.
It happens, unfortunately.
Well, you know, when you try to plan ahead like that and have that contingency for whatever happens, that kind of thing can happen. It really is as simple as a click of a computer.
How many times did it play?
I don't know.
It would be funny if it only played once and a ton of people heard it and complained about it.
A guy tweeted this. He said, here is the commercial currently running on 94.5 here in Birmingham. So by currently running, I would say more than once. And almost would take more than once for it to blow up as a story. Yeah, you think?
You would think someone would have caught it by that, but
it's late at night. It's midnight.
I was going to say, it's playing really late.
Yeah. There's nobody around a radio station at midnight. We all know that. That's bad. But I think, you got a good point. It's not shocking. That's a pretty big mistake.
Of course, we would never make such a mistake around here.
It's never been done.
No.
We have.
Ever.
People in charge that know exactly what they're
doing.
We've
just heard about it from other radio stations. Yeah.
I hope it's not a sister station of ours. Sorry if it is.
We own quite a few.
Yeah, we do. We do. Back in 2017, Willie Taggart was at Oregon. Now, of course, he's at Florida State. And there was a player there, Doug Brenner, who was hospitalized after a difficult workout. He was diagnosed with a condition and several other injuries, and now he's suing. He wants financial restitution. According to OregonLive.com, he's suing Willie Taggart. No longer at Oregon, he's at Florida State. But he's also suing the team and the strength coach for $11.5 million. Wow. According to the report, Brenner's attorneys are claiming negligence from the university. They want financial benefits following Brenner's hospitalization. 18-page lawsuit filed today, Wednesday. His attorneys allege that the University of Oregon was negligent for failing to prohibit, regulate, or supervise the workouts, which they describe as physical punishment regimens. The lawsuit alleges that Taggart and the strength coach, both now at Florida State, were negligent in imposing and carrying out the workouts, and that the NCAA failed to regulate such practices by coaches of its member institutions. According to this lawsuit, shortly after Taggart was hired in December of 2016 at Oregon, he told the team that he and his coaching staff were going to focus on discipline in strength and conditioning, and that they were going to find the snakes in the grass and cut their heads off. Whatever that means. The outcome of this lawsuit will have wide-ranging impacts across the college football landscape, according to this story from Saturday Down South. So we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, that's going to be the interesting thing here is, were the workouts excessive? Were they properly supervised? And will that follow Willie Taggart to his current job at Florida State and haunt him there? Because an $11.5 million lawsuit is certainly going to be in the news, that suit just filed out in Oregon, going back to Willie Taggart's days at Oregon. All right, let's take our final break. If you want to get in, last call for phone calls today in the huddle at 844-477-3776. Health Care text line 71307. Back to wrap it up here in the huddle next on ESPN Upstate. Welcome back. Final segment of the huddle today, ESPN Upstate with Greg McKinney and Lonzo. Don't forget, coming up tonight, we have hockey. The Greenville Swamp Rabbits playing Florida. And we will be on the air at 7:15 with that one on ESPN Upstate. If you're looking for Clemson basketball tonight, Clemson plays Syracuse. Tigers are 10-4, but they're needing a win here, looking for their first win in ACC play, which has just gotten underway. That game will be heard on WORD 106.3 starting at 7:30 tonight. So you can tune into the Clemson game over on 106.3 tonight as we have a little conflict between hockey and basketball coming up tonight. Just recapping a couple of the bigger stories of the day today that we've talked about in the huddle. Got word on a couple of Clemson players, Trey Lamar, linebacker, Trayvon Mullen, cornerback, going on to the NFL. So Clemson will have more to replace than some expected. I don't know if this is a surprise because both those guys have graded high at their positions, Lamar at linebacker and Mullen at cornerback. And so they've decided now's the time to make the move. So we will see where they end up in the NFL draft coming up. But that's a couple of more spots for Brent Venables and Dabo Swinney to be concerned about going into the 2019 season. You think they're already worried about it? Already fretting over what the lineup is going to be a couple days after winning a national championship. How long do you get to just forget about all of this and enjoy the moment? You get one day? Do you get one week?
Well, recruiting's going on, so I mean,
yeah. They're worried about
it. Do some of those guys stay in California or in that area and recruit, or did they come back? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know who did what, but yeah, you're right. Recruiting is big right now. Got another signing day coming up.
It's a year-round business, so I'm sure you enjoy it one day, if that long, and get right back into it.
And you jump back in. So, you know, I imagine they had a sense, the coaching staff at least, of what Mullen and Lamar were going to do. But that's a couple of key guys that Clemson will lose off that defense, in addition to the defensive linemen who they are losing to the NFL this year. The other thing is that Jalen Hurts has entered the NCAA transfer portal. He's in the portal. And so that means he can start talking to other teams as he looks to play another year after leaving Alabama. Doesn't mean he necessarily has to leave Alabama, but it sure indicates that he's looking strongly at doing that. And all the reporting I'm seeing on Jalen Hurts points toward TCU. TCU, because he's a Texas guy, and there's relationships there, and it would probably be a surprise if he went somewhere else. Look for Jalen Hurts and TCU to work out something here. And he doesn't have to get a waiver in order to play this coming season because he is a graduate transfer, would be a graduate transfer. Just graduated in December from Alabama, so that clears the way for him to go ahead and play without sitting out a year. So something else to watch there. Another guy has a big decision coming up is Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray, the Oklahoma quarterback, the Heisman Trophy winner. San Francisco Chronicle is reporting that he will not play in both the NFL and Major League Baseball. They report that Murray will have to pick one sport because the demands of learning and playing quarterback in the NFL would preclude him from playing professional baseball. I would agree with that. It's not really a legitimate attack to try to play both sports. And so this decision is coming up for Kyler Murray. He has until Sunday if he wants to be in the 2019 NFL draft. So he's down to a few days.
He's going to play football.
Football?
Yeah. I think he's
going to. I mean, the line on him was always baseball.
Yeah, I know. And I've read some things saying he's not as good of a baseball player as he is as a football player.
Well, he got a lot better at football. That's the problem. He was a great baseball player, but, you know, then he went out and won the Heisman Trophy, and that changes things a little bit.
If he does decide to come into the draft for football, does he replace Haskins as the number one prospect quarterback? Because I don't think he does, because hype comes into play and other things.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, his team was 12-1, and he had a great year. He threw for 40 touchdowns. He passed for over 4,000 yards. And he's a good mobile quarterback, ran for 11 touchdowns, almost 900 yards rushing. Oklahoma lost to Alabama in the semifinals, of course. Now, as far as baseball is concerned, for Oklahoma last spring, he played center field. He batted .296 and had 10 home runs. Yeah, good, not great, right?
Is he working out with the baseball team right now?
Don't know what he is doing
right
now.
Curious about that.
He was the ninth pick in the 2018 Major League Baseball draft by the Oakland Athletics, and he got a bonus of almost $5 million. There has been some speculation that he might stay for a senior season. His agent, Scott Boras, has insisted that Kyler Murray is committing to playing professional baseball. His agent has said he will be in spring training with the A's in 2019.
The smart move is to go to baseball, because if you're any good at all, you can play baseball a very long time and you don't have to deal with the contact and everything that goes with it. Yep. As long as you don't get hit by a baseball, you're good.
Yeah, I've always felt that way. I mean, it's a 162-game season, so it's kind of tedious, but it's pretty easy. I mean, let's face it, you do a lot of sitting around. It's pretty easy. You got a longer season, but you're less prone to injury. I mean, there haven't been that many. Well, you got Bo Jackson and Deion Sanders that did both, right?
Right.
That's it, right? That's all I know about.
As far as they're the two most famous, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, is Kyler Murray that kind of athlete that could do both? Again, probably not. And that's what this report in the Chronicle, San Francisco Chronicle, said. I think they just talked to some people and some so-called experts who said, yeah, he's going to need to pick one.
Obviously, it's a hard choice for him, or he would have already chosen.
Well, he's about to have to decide by Sunday. Now, I'm going to say he sticks with the baseball play.
I mean, if you love one thing more, if you love football more, but you know that your body will last longer and you have a longer career in baseball, it's a matter of your mind winning over your heart, and that doesn't always happen.
I mean, just think about it just from CTE, concussions, all that stuff, quality of life. Quarterback in the NFL, and especially trying to be a running quarterback, which, you know, doesn't work long-term for anybody, I would stick with baseball.
And there's also the fame factor. If you want fame, you're going to get more of it in football than you are in baseball. I mean, there's a lot of things that factor in there.
I wouldn't let
especially
that.
When you're a young kid. It's hopefully he's got some smart people advising him.
Yeah, I'm sure he does. I'm sure he has some guys giving him some good advice. It's a nice choice to have, right?
It's an awesome choice to have.
It's good to be Kyler Murray these days. Final note, out of the NBA in Oklahoma City, the Thunder, they have announced today that Nerlens Noel got a concussion, took an elbow to the head in Tuesday night's game against the Minnesota Timberwolves. It was Andrew Wiggins' elbow. The team said he lost consciousness, knocked to the floor at the 5:16 mark of the third quarter. So Noel's now in the NBA concussion protocol. In fact, he spent the night in the hospital. Oklahoma University, Oklahoma Hospital, OU Hospital, whatever that is. And then was released today. According to the NBA concussion policy, Noel will now begin the NBA mandated return to participation protocol. He can't resume basketball activities until it's determined that he is symptom-free. And there is no timetable on that. I mean, whatever it takes, it takes. I mean, if you're knocked unconscious, that's a pretty big blow. Lost consciousness.
You know, I didn't see the hit, but I saw a bunch of tweets and other stuff on social media, and this was pretty scary.
I bet it was. So you got to be careful with that, and it may be a little while before Noel comes back. You know, he's not been a leader of the Thunder by any stretch. He has one start this season, but he's played in 39 games, averaging 5.1 points per game and 4.6 rebounds, 1.4 blocks in 13.7 minutes per game. So he's one of those guys that contributes a bit to the Oklahoma City Thunder. But anyway, best wishes to Nerlens Noel as he's out of the hospital after the concussion, but still out of the lineup for Oklahoma City until he clears concussion protocol and can get back.